We're discussing the Russian invasion of Ukraine with your questions front and center on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Biden issued a fresh round of economic sanctions Thursday and told Americans the U.S. stands up to bullies, saying that sanctions will show the people of Russia what President Putin has brought on.
This is going to take time. It's not going to occur. He's going to say, oh, my God, these sanctions are coming. I'm going to stand down. He's going to test the resolve of the West to see if we stay together, and we will.
What do you want to know about Russia's invasion? Are you Ukrainian? What have you heard from your loved ones there? 800-642-1234. Ted Gerber is a professor of sociology, director of the Wisconsin-Russia Project for UW-Madison Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia. Ted, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Kyiv under bombardment, Russian troops on the outskirts of the capital. We hear, you know, Secretary of State Antony Blinken on CBS News last night saying this is the opening salvo of a massive invasion. How surprised are you?
Well, I mean, I'm more shocked than surprised. I think this was telegraphed for quite some time that
yes.
Putin was saying something like this. But still, it's just very shocking. It's hard to believe one's eyes, you know, seeing these attacks and witnessing the scale is also very surprising.
When you look at the scale, and as you say, you know, U.S. telegraphing much of Putin's intentions, sharing out this intelligence with the American people, you know, this has been seen like a bold information strategy, but hasn't stopped Putin. What do you make of this deterrence tactic and this information tactic?
That's right. I think the tactic did make sense. It was it was definitely novel because we don't usually hear government officials laying out the details of intelligence reports. It's been remarkably prescient. I think the Biden administration and American intelligence in general deserves a lot of credit for really nailing it in terms of what Putin was actually going to do. They really mapped out the plans. It did not deter Putin, clearly. I think it was a good strategy to try to deter him, but I think he really made up his mind, regardless of what kinds of publicity there was going to be for his plans, that he would attack. So it's, it did prep the world, I think, for what was going to happen. So it was not really a surprise, as you asked. But, the horror of seeing a defenseless country being attacked and bombed and missiles landing and so forth, it really is quite shocking for those of us in my generation who haven't witnessed this kind of attack in Europe in our whole lives.
Did this intelligence, one intelligence person said the U.S., you know, really giving out this information that it was countering the disinformation, the false narratives that would have come up from Russia. Is there anything to that?
I think there is. I think Russia, of course, Mr. Putin has made the argument that Ukraine is crawling with neo-Nazis, which is beyond absurd. He's made the case that the Ukrainian government has had a campaign against the populations of the Russian-controlled or separatist or Russian-backed separatist-controlled regions of Donetsk and Luhansk. Those are both false claims, and I think it did help for the Biden administration to make it clean. This is a long-term planned operation, and everything that Putin has used to justify this, including the historical fiction that Ukraine has never been a real country, that these are all just brazen lies and propaganda. And I think it really was helpful to understand that this was an operation that has been planned ahead for a long time. And so it's really advancing Mr. Putin's objectives, Mr. Putin's goals. It has nothing to do with intervening in any way to serve some other cause in Ukraine that would be noble. So I did think it had that impact, particularly because of the credibility of the Biden announcements, as we've seen, because things have played out. So it gives more credibility to the U.S. perspective that this was anticipated. And so from that perspective, I do think it was.
Ted Gerber with us, professor of sociology at UW-Madison, focusing on Russia, Ukraine, other former Soviet countries. You can join in with your questions. How should the U.S. or the U.N. respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine? Would you support sending U.S. troops? Where do you see the U.S.? What are the next steps? 800-642-1234. Ted, we've seen in recent hours Ukrainian President Zelensky pleading for help from European leaders, saying if you do not strongly help Ukraine, then tomorrow war will knock on your doors. How long can Zelensky and his government hold out?
Well, I'm afraid, I mean, I'm not a military expert, but I'm afraid for not very long. The Russian force assembled is just really superior in terms of numbers, in terms of technology and material. The Ukrainians have fought bravely, but I do think it's probably a matter of days before, at least before Kiev is taken. And in terms of Zelensky's requests, you know, sad to say, I just don't think that's in the cards. I don't think Europe or NATO or the U.S. are going to send troops to fight the Russian forces directly. There is, of course, talk of arming an insurgency should that develop, should Russia decide to occupy the country. However, I think it's really too early to say whether or not, you know, what the ground is going to look like, you know, if and when Kiev does fall, if and when, as the Putin leadership has made clear as its intention, it's able to decapitate, so to speak, the Ukrainian government, install some kind of puppet leaders. So whether an insurgency actually develops and if it does, the extent to which it will receive support from the West is kind of a tricky thing to do. So I'm not sure that it's actually that feasible. However, it certainly it is probably the greatest extent to which the United States and its NATO allies will provide direct military support to the Ukrainian effort. I don't think there's anybody in the U.S. or European government circles who are seriously considering sending troops to actually do battle with Russian forces.
Let's bring on a caller, Scott, joining us from Northern Illinois. Scott, you have sanctions on your mind. Go ahead.
I think that the U.S. should have been a little bit more quickly about implementing these sanctions. You know, once we saw the buildup at the border, I think the Biden administration should have brought that, right up for discussion right away and started, you know, bringing out a stronger image against Russia. And the other side of it, too, is how, you know, 2 days ago, we just put a pause on all federal oil, you know, oil drilling that's been going on. We put a pause on all that, and we're just looking to align ourselves with, you know, foreign oil and foreign natural gas, especially Germany. They've closed down all our nuclear plants in the last 2 years, and I think we need to have a discussion about us being reliant upon ourselves.
Scott, thank you for this. Ted, we've talked about sanctions before. What do you see?
Well, actually, I tend to agree that the Biden administration might have done well to impose at least an initial round of sanctions before the invasion actually took place. Clearly, the strategy was to sort of hold out sanctions as a stick to respond to punish Russia with once the invasion did start. I can see the logic behind the strategy that that Scott, the caller, just suggested, that it might have made sense to try to at least show a little bit of what was in store. I mean, I think, you know, most likely the Putin administration, the Putin regime, anticipated what would transpire, what would happen, and built that into its calculations. So it's not altogether clear that it would have made much of a difference. However, I think more preparation of the sanctions for the sanctions could have been done. Indeed, energy independence has been a goal of the United States for a number of years. And from what it's almost at that goal. I mean, the U.S. does not receive too much of its energy from abroad, but still remains.
But Europe is a different story at, I think, 40%.
Right.
Here's what I really want to ask you. Why don't we throw down sanctions that directly compromise Putin? Why go after, like, uber wealthy oligarchs first?
Yes. Well, I don't really know why not. I mean, I really think they should. I think part of the reason is Putin, you know, a lot of his wealth is actually hidden in the accounts of his circle, his friends. And so in a way, by sanctioning the wealthier Russians, that's a way of trying to get at Putin. And secondly, I mean, I think Putin himself has so much wealth that were you to sanction him, it wouldn't affect him that much. The idea of sanctioning the wealthiest oligarchs is to put pressure on him to get them to want to get rid of Putin. And I think probably the sanctions hurt them more than they would hurt Putin directly himself personally. And so the logic here is that the only way to get Putin to change his course is to get his circle, his main supporters on which he relies, which first and foremost is the Russian elite, to get them to feel some pain and therefore maybe turn them against Putin.
UW-Madison sociologist Ted Gerber directs the UW Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia as we discuss the Russian invasion of Ukraine and what's on your mind. How should NATO allies respond to this invasion? Are you a veteran of America's past wars? What worries you about this escalation and Russia's military strength? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ted Gerber here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, the capital under bombardment, next steps for the West. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Biden unveiled harsher sanctions Thursday, told reporters at the White House.
The only thing that I'm convinced of is if we don't stop now, he'll be emboldened. If we don't move against him now with these significant sanctions, he will be emboldened.
UW-Madison sociologist Ted Gerber directs the Wisconsin Russia Project with us for about nine more minutes. Lauren is joining us from Burlington. Hi, Lauren. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't think sanctions will work. Number one, one of the things that irritates me about the last few presidents is that we announce our strategy, in advance. There's no surprises anymore. And I feel that, let's look at North Korea. North Korea has not, they're still functioning, and they've been under sanctions for forever. Announcing these sanctions, I believe Putin had time to move money. He had time to, put things in place. And they don't scare him. The guy is, the guy is a psychopath. And I really feel like we're back in 1939 when we watched Germany invade Poland and the world sat on its butt and didn't do a doggone thing about it.
Lauren, let's see what Ted has to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's that is certainly an argument that many make, that sanctions are ineffective. The type and form of sanctions really can vary a lot. And the type of sanctions that the U.S. is imposing on Russia are quite sweeping. They include not only sanctions against Russia's financial institutions that make it much harder for them to secure capital. They also include sanctions on exports of various important technologies that are vital to Russia's industry, defense industry, their oil and gas industry. So it is... There are too many historical cases where in the past where sanctions have really changed behavior, but there is one, and that is in Iran. So very recently, sanctions imposed on the Iran government forced them to the table to agree to the now defunct nuclear deal. So I appreciate the point. I do think the analogy with Hitler attacking Poland perhaps is relevant, but you also have to take into account that the other option, military action against Russia, threatens quickly to escalate into a world war, including the possibility of nuclear war. And I think because Ukraine is not a member of NATO and has not been, there's no treaty obligation to actually send troops to defend it. If Russia were to attack a NATO country, I think the response would be quite different and quite swift. And if anything, I do believe that this conflict has stiffened NATO's resolve and unity. And so if there was any doubt, there was discussions maybe if we're Russia to attack a country like Estonia, about which it's made a lot of noise in recent years, there were questions about whether NATO would respond. And now I think it's quite clear that NATO's resolve has been stiffened. It's been reunified after the Trump period, in which there was a lot of dissension, So I think...
And I just want to add there, Biden did say the U.S. will defend every inch of NATO territory with the full force of American power. And in recent recent hours, we've also learned that the Pentagon is sending 7,000 more troops to Europe, and specifically to Germany.
That's right. That's quite telling. I think if Mr. Putin had intended to increase the level of unity and resolve among within NATO and increase the presence of U.S. troops on the European continent, he has achieved those objectives.
Mm. Doug, now in Lansing, Iowa. Doug, hi.
Hello?
Hi. We can hear you. Go ahead. Yes.
Yes. I think the major sanctions are great, but, you know, I think they need to get down in the sanction categories that will hurt other parts of the economy and not the lower employed people. I think they should do a complete travel ban to Russia, no tourism, because I've been to Russia and been to St. Petersburg and stuff, and it's a major economy for Russia. No tourism, just like they did with Cuba, which I really didn't agree with, but no tourism, no spending of credit cards. If the EU and other countries said, we are not going to travel to Russia, you cannot spend money in Russia.
Seal it off from the world is what I'm hearing, Doug.
Yes, but yes.
Ted Gerber.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. In fact, I think Russia probably, you know, its tourism industry has really declined anyway in recent years because of the COVID pandemic. I don't know that that would in and of itself have much independent impact. I think what others have suggested is that there should be harsher sanctions against the Russian elite, in particular in London. There are a lot of, you know, wealthy Russians running around living great lavish lifestyles. You know, the children are in expensive schools there, and there's been talk of kicking them out and making it harder, you know, for the Russian elite to be able to travel, because those types of sanctions would directly bite the elite, which is, again, I think the appropriate target of these sanctions. Although, of course, the Russian public is going to feel a lot of pain from this. Prices are going to go up there. It's going to be harder for them to get goods. The value of their wages are going to decline. But I do think cutting Russia off from SWIFT is another step that has not yet been taken. That's the system which banks communicate to each other that will make it a lot harder for capital flows to occur involving Russian banks, and the Europeans are reluctant to do that. So I think it could still be more, we could still be seeing more sanctions in the days and weeks to come as the conflict progresses. And those two items that I just mentioned are probably in the cards, I think. I think they're still continuing to roll them out, and we'll see more.
Let's go to Adam now in Madison. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to make the point that it's kind of disappointing when you watch the news and listen to the news on the radio. Like, people are constantly talking about the cost for Americans is going to be oil, like oil prices at the pump. And it's disappointing that we see the biggest escalation of war in Europe since World War II. And the first thing Americans want to talk about is the gas prices. Like, this is democracy we're talking about. Another point would be just that we have treason in plain sight. The Republicans took money from the NRA, who laundered money from Russia, and nobody talks about that anymore.
Adam, thank you. Ted Gerber.
Well, I certainly agree with the first point. I think this is not, you know, some kind of isolated minor conflict somewhere in the world. This is war in Europe. This is one country attacking a essentially defenseless and helpless country that did it no wrong, sending in tanks, bombing, missile attacks. And we can't let that kind of behavior become the norm. So I certainly agree that a lot of the discussions in the U.S. that are focused on the potential pain that Americans will experience, consider in relative terms what kind of pain the Ukrainians are experiencing. And even our European allies will experience more pain as a result of these sanctions. Americans, in my view, need to realize that a lot is at stake here. It's not just some minor conflict, and some of the American politicians, I think, have certainly played into the hands of that argument. We know that Trump, for example, has called Putin a genius for his declaration of independence for the two breakaway republics, and that kind of thinking really is not helpful. I think one of the previous caller's analogies with Hitler attacking Poland and initiating the Second World War, that is very apropos, it's very relevant here. And Americans need to think about, you know, the cost of freedom. As others have said, freedom is not free, and we have to be willing to make some sacrifices. Moreover, gas prices are going to go up anyway, and so it's not really clear how much this, you know, the American sanctions as such are going to affect gas prices. They will some, but generally, even without that, you know, the markets are going to be disrupted by a war. And so I think the discussion in the United States should focus more on what is at stake and less on the costs to American pocketbooks. Although, you know, of course, as the president alluded to in his speech yesterday, he is aware of that. And the United States maybe will be taking some steps to alleviate some of the pain that Americans feel.
Ted, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Ted Gerber, professor of sociology, director of the Wisconsin Russia Project for UW-Madison Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia. The Ideas Network is working to schedule more conversations about Russia's attacks on Ukraine, including members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. For more coverage, visit WPR.org. News is next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.